Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. If you'd like to listen to any past episodes that you might have missed, you can go back and find those at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com or iTunes or any place where you like to get your podcasts from. In 1859, during the reign of the British Empire, a teaching gained popularity. And this teaching was the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution, spelled out in Darwin's On the Origin of Species. And this teaching, long foreshadowed in the scientific community, in other words, it had been hinted at for some time, cast doubt on the truth of the biblical creation. It cast doubt on God's word. And of course, if you think about the early history in Genesis, Satan cast doubt right away when talking to Eve. He cast doubt. That's what Satan does. And so this teaching of evolution, it casts doubt on the truth of God's creation and the fact that God is a creator. But evolution is assumed to be correct today. It's taught in most every educational institution. It certainly is not taught here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, where we're broadcasting to you from. But it is taught in most institutions in this world. Most college institutions and high schools and all the way at the beginning of someone's education in terms of a classroom setting, grade school, the earliest teachings are that of evolution. Kids shows teach evolution. And so it's assumed to be correct, but it certainly casts doubt on the truth of God as creator and the Bible's revelation, the truth of how the creation came to be. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, it's a great lesson, a series of lessons that you can sign up for and learn all about God's truth, and it's free, but it says the evolutionary theory assumes, that's a big word, isn't it? It assumes, an assumption. It assumes that humans are animals. Humans are just another animal, a cat, a dog, a human, a porcupine, all just animals, as evolution assumes. It says, but one thing evolution can never explain is the vast difference between animal brain equipped with instinct and the human mind with its creative reasoning powers of intellect, devoid of instinct in the strict sense that animals possess it. So this is something that really stumps the scientists, because they can look at an animal and they can look at a human and they can see that both are made out of material. They're both made out of matter, and in most, depending on the type of animal, they all walk, they breathe, but yet, look at what the mind of man does, and look at what a dog or a cat does. Dogs or cats don't do too much, do they? They sort of have their basic pattern of behavior. And of course, each animal's a touch different, and they can, some dogs are a little more rambunctious, some are a little more quiet. It depends on the type of dog and the environment and all of that, just to look at one example. But for the most part, they do the same thing. If you've had one cat, you've kind of had every cat there is, haven't you? Again, there's some differences, but not really. Cats do what cats do. Dogs do what dogs do. But human beings, they think. They have some creative power. They plan. They organize. They make decisions. Animals don't do those things. But if you look at the brains, just the physical brains, and you look at them in terms of physical size and composition, some animals have brains that appear to be similar to that of human brains. If you put two of them on the table and looked at them, and you can find pictures of brains on the internet, that's pretty common. You can look at them, and they look similar. There's not this obvious difference between them. And yet, animals do not have the powers of intellect, logic, self-consciousness, and creativity. They just don't. I have a dog. The family really likes the dog. I like the dog. He's a good dog. But he's a dog. He's not all that creative. He does some fun things. He likes to push a ball at us, and we throw it, and then he brings it back and pushes it at us. And he does it every day. He never gets tired of it. I think he would do it every day, all day, if we had the time to do it. That's pretty much what he wants to do. Push a ball, sleep, eat, drink, get scratched behind the ears. He's a great dog, but that's what he does. He's a dog. And it's interesting thinking about animals, and in my case, a dog. The dog that I have is not that different today than when he was a puppy. He's very similar. He's a bit bigger, of course, and so we've trained him to do a few things. And he's learned, you know, where his food dish is and to go outside when he needs to take care of some things. But he doesn't have self-awareness. He hasn't changed. He hasn't become more educated. He doesn't read books. He doesn't communicate other than a bark or a whine. He is pretty much the same as he was when we got him as a puppy. Now, I have two children as well, two human children, and they are very different today than from when they were babies. They've changed a lot. They speak now. They write. They play music. They dance. They play sports. They make decisions. The older they get, the more self-aware they become, for better or worse sometimes. But they're so much different than when they were babies. When they were babies, they really couldn't do too much. But look at how far humans can go very quickly. You can think of your own life or your own children or, you know, any experience you've had within the human realm. People change, they grow, they develop quickly. And they learn and their minds begin to understand knowledge and they can communicate, they can create, they can do things, they can make decisions. Animals can't do that. What's the difference? Look at the two brains on a table between a man and an animal. And in a lot of cases, they're pretty similar. Why this huge difference? Well, simply God made it that way. God made man different than he made animals. Let's notice this in Genesis, the book of Genesis in the Bible, if you have a Bible with you handy. Be good to get it out. We could look at these scriptures together and see what God says and get his insight. After all, he is the creator. He knows how things work because he made them. He made humans and he made animals. Genesis 1 and starting in verse 21. It says, "And God created whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." After their kind. If a bird lays an egg, what comes out of the egg? Well, it's not an armadillo. It's another bird, just like the bird that laid the egg. And if a whale has a little baby, what does it have? It has a whale. That's what it has. After their kind, they reproduce after their kind. Notice verse 24. "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." So the creation continues here. There's animal life in the oceans and seas. There's animal life upon this earth, and there's animal life in the air. And then in verse 25, it says, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." So God's made all the things that we see. Do you see cattle today? Do you see whales sometimes? Probably not in person, but certainly pictures and things. Maybe you've gone on a whale-watching cruise or something like that. You've seen these animals. We've seen these animals. They exist. They were created, and they reproduce after their kind. A whale today is like a whale was thousands of years ago. They're whales. Animals made after the animal kinds are designed to do what each kind does. You're not very often going to be surprised. I suppose an animal could have an odd behavior occasionally, but for the most part, again, we know what animals do. We know what whales do. We know what dogs do. We know what monkeys do. They do what they do. We know what worms do. Have you ever been shocked by a worm's behavior? I haven't. They lay there and crawl around. That's all I've ever seen them do. And if they do something else, I don't know about it. But they do what they do because God made them after their kinds to do what they do. God created it that way. But there's something different here with man. Notice verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Yes, difference here, isn't there? God made man in his image. God and the Word, they made man in their image, after their likeness. They're different. We're different. And as it says, they do have dominion. Have you seen a human fish with a fishing pole or a net and catch a fish? Certainly. Have you ever seen a fish try to capture a man? Very rarely. Now, if you're in their habitat and they're a giant fish, you might have some trouble, like a shark or something. But they're not plotting and planning and coming out of the water to catch human beings. Right? There might be a rare instance where a human finds himself in a precarious situation with an animal. But for the most part, man has dominion over the animals. Man has dominion over the earth. Man cuts down trees. Man plants trees. Trees don't do anything other than grow. Right? They don't get together and have plans and make decisions. They're trees. Man has dominion. Man makes decisions on this earth. Verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So man is made after the God kind. There's a difference. The animals are made after the animal kind. Man is made after the God kind. It's plainly revealed in the Bible. And it's something evolution doesn't understand, casts doubt upon, and tries to just look at the material creation around it and say, well, I don't know, maybe that came from that. Well, there's a lot of maybes. There's a lot of assumptions. God's revelation is only revealed in his word, in the Holy Bible. Mankind was made male and female. So God made the difference there. In society today, people are trying to mess with that. Genders. God made male and female. And animals cannot become humans. Male humans cannot become female humans. And vice versa. People's thinking can get perverted on this. People can pretend. But it doesn't make it so. God made the animals after the animal kind. He made man after the God kind. And he made mankind male and female. I mean, man literally is a clay mold of God himself. Man was created to become God, to actually become God, develop God's character by choosing to live God's way, and then using the power of God's Spirit to think like God. When God calls people into his work and into his church, into the body of Christ, then he gives them his Holy Spirit upon baptism and the laying on of hands by true ministers. And that process of growth and character development really begins. And that plan will be offered to all mankind in due season. Every man will have an opportunity. Every woman will have an opportunity. Mankind will all be given a chance to know their Creator and to know his truth. But that's what God's doing with mankind. We're clay molds of God himself. We look like God. The correspondence course says, "No animal was ever given the gift of mind power, the ability to think, to reason, to make choices and decisions, as was man." I mean, think about that. Mind power. What kind of power do you have in your mind? It's pretty amazing. Maybe sometimes we can have an inferiority complex and think, well, I'm not the smartest guy in the room or something like that. But mind power is amazing. Every human being has amazing mind power, you know, assuming that they're healthy and there's not a handicap there. But amazing mind power. Amazing mind power, amazing ability to think, to reason, to make choices and decisions. Amazing abilities. And it's something we need to thank God for. Who decided to have mind power? I mean, when you were born, did you make the decision to have mind power? I didn't. It's just the way we are created. And it's a gift from God to have mind power. And so, of course, we want to thank God for it, and we want to use it the right way. We can corrupt it. We can let it just sit sort of dormant and not do much with it. Or we can really use our mind power the way God wants us to. But it's a gift from God. Satan doesn't want us to think. He doesn't want us to look into God's word. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to assume. Because the world is full of lies. This is Satan's world. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, that he's a god of this world. He deceives the whole world, it says in Revelation 12 and verse 9. That's what the truth is, even though many people don't think about that. Satan doesn't want us to think. And maybe you've been in a situation where you've questioned something about the evolutionary theory in a classroom setting. I'm not necessarily recommending you do it, but I mean, if you've been in one of those classes, maybe you've had a question. So, well, I don't understand something about this. How did that go? I've done that. I've done that in a college classroom. How did it go? Well, they didn't have an answer. Their answer was pretty much, in my case anyway, you just have to believe me, I'm a pretty smart guy. Now, they didn't say it exactly that way, of course. But that was really the sentiment of what was being said. You know, they didn't have any proof of evolution. They threw out some thought or some idea that they had and then went on to tell us about how educated they were. Well, how about thinking for ourselves a little bit? How about looking into the Word of God? Looking into the Word of God. Satan doesn't want us to do that. The ability to think comes from the human spirit combined with the physical human brain. That's the truth that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, and he wrote a lot about that in The Incredible Human Potential and in Mystery of the Ages, both of those books free at thetrumpet.com. Also, What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind. Tremendous books to read and booklets. That's a truth that's very, very much unknown to this world. Now, it wasn't just a made-up assumption or a theory. It's the Word of God. It's in the Bible. Notice this, the fact that the human spirit combined with the physical human brain gives us the ability to think. That's why when you see two brains sitting, you know, in a picture, one's a human brain, one's an animal brain, you say, well, they don't look that different. Well, one has the human spirit when it's alive in a human being. One has the human spirit. The animal does not. And this is revealed in the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. It says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. So in order to know the things of a man, we have to have the human spirit. Dogs don't know the things of a man. They don't get jobs and go out and start families and raise children and read books and build cars and drive them on the interstate. I mean, just all these basic things that human beings do, either individually or as a, you know, collective group, that it doesn't even occur to them. They're dogs. They just do what dogs do. But humans do something different. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? And then the point is made that we can't know the things of God without God's Holy Spirit. Our minds can't be open to the revelation of God's truth without the Holy Spirit. But we need the human spirit as well. In our minds, so that we can think like a human being thinks. And of course, animals don't think, they have instinct. The correspondence course says that the spirit in man does impart the power of intellect to the human brain. This non-physical component in the human brain does not exist in the brain of animals. It's that simple. That's the difference between the animal and the human. The human has the human spirit. It's a gift from God. It's the way God created it. Animals don't have that. And so animals do what they do. They reproduce after their kind. They act like their kind. There have been plenty of experiments to demonstrate that. You know, one example I can think of is birds that make a particular type of nest. And they took several generations of birds, and they did not allow them to make a nest. And then once they gave them the opportunity again, generations down the line, those new birds made the exact same nest as the earlier birds had made. Because it's an instinct. It's in them to do it. A human being, you know, if we never saw how to do something, we'd have to learn again. It would take time. We'd probably do it a little differently than, say, several generations before, right? Because man has to learn and think. But then the capacity is so much greater to learn, to develop, to grow. The human spirit is something that scientists can't measure. Now, we can all measure it in the sense of the obvious. Look at the difference between this person and that dog and what they do. That's a pretty easy way to measure it. But they can't take the human spirit and put it in a bucket or put it on a scale and say, oh, there it is. And so because they can't see it physically, they can't detect it in that way, they can't measure it in that way, they don't think it exists. But even a child knows the difference between their mom and dad and the family dog. They should. It's pretty clear. What's the difference between these two? Well, mom and dad do this and this and this and this, and the dog rolls over and does that. It's pretty easy to measure in a lot of ways. But yet scientists can't get a hold of that. But it's revealed in God's word. The correspondence course says that knowledge received in the brain through the eye, ear, and the senses is immediately programmed into the spirit. You can call it a computer, I suppose. We could think of it that way. All memory is stored in this spirit computer. And this computer gives the brain instant recall of whatever portion of millions of bits of knowledge may be needed in the reasoning process. That is to say that memory is recorded in the human spirit, whether or not it is also recorded in the gray matter of brain. So we remember things, don't we? How do we remember it? Well, it's recorded in our human spirit, and then our brain accesses it. That's the way it's designed. Our brains are amazing machines. They're powered by that human spirit, though. The human spirit also is the very means God has instilled to make possible a personal relationship between human man and divine God. Without that human spirit, we couldn't have a connection with God. And then, of course, we need God's spirit as well. But we need that connection. And animals don't have that connection. They don't think about those things. They don't think about anything. They have instinct. What a difference. I mean, what a blessing it is to be able to think and to have mind power. We want to thank God for it and not take it lightly. We want to use it the right way. There is no human spirit within animals. The human spirit in man is why mankind has intellectual power and animals do not. There is not a human spirit in animals. There just isn't. And so why do people not understand this truth today? Well, we hinted on it earlier. Notice this in Revelation 12 and verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan deceives the whole world. He doesn't want mankind to have a relationship with God, with his creator. He doesn't want that. And so he injects false thoughts, false ideas, intellectual vanity, And it manifests itself in one way in the theory of evolution. And then, of course, it's taught so regularly and so authoritatively in schools that people just assume it to be correct. How come they don't assume the Bible to be correct? I mean, if it's just a matter of assuming, why not assume the Bible is correct? Well, there's an animosity towards the Bible and towards that instruction. The human mind is enmity against God, is hostile to God, even if just passively. Talks about that in Romans. And so mankind doesn't really want to know about the truth of God. And Satan deceives the whole world. But it doesn't change the truth that the evolutionary theory is a lie. And God created man after the God kind, and they're different. We're different because he's given us the human spirit, and it separates us from animals. In Genesis 3 and verse 4, Satan told Eve she would not die. That was the immortal soul lie. And people today still believe mankind has an immortal soul, which we do not. But we do have the human spirit, which empowers our minds with the ability to think and reason. But Satan has confused mankind on this point. So when you read of the human spirit, don't make the mistake of thinking this is talking about some sort of ghost and immortal soul within man. It's not what it's talking about. The human spirit is simply the power of intellect that God has gifted to mankind. It empowers our physical brain with the power to think and reason. And it is a biblical truth that when man does die, that spirit goes back to God. It's not in a conscious form at that time. It's not like the person still thinking and alive in that sense. But God takes that recording, if you will, of the human spirit, and then he can resurrect man again. He can resurrect man either back into the physical form, as will happen to some, or into spirit form, into the God form, into the God family. And there's a lot more to talk about there, and you can read about that and the incredible human potential and a mystery of the ages, all of that free at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.